The Bible reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 6 verse 1 through to chapter 7 verse 6. Sorry, I forgot to look. What page is it on, Gay?
783.
Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Keep your Bibles open there at Romans 6. My name's Matt, if we haven't met before. I'm the pastor of our church up in Ganellabar. It's my pleasure to be with you here this morning. I've been enjoying, challenged by, but enjoying preaching through Romans this term. It has been difficult. Lots of sin and judgment and no excuses and slavery. So let's talk about slavery today. Go. I think we need to pray. How about if I pray? Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Father, as we've been working through this letter, we have seen your good news revealed to us, your righteousness. Father, thanks for speaking to us, for giving us your word. Thanks for revealing yourself to us, for making us new. And we pray that as we look into this chapter this morning, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, I'll just shift this. Have you ever felt like you've just jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire? You've just escaped from a difficult situation only to find that you've ended up worse off than before, or at least similar. Maybe you've had a job that you felt trapped in, and then you get an opportunity to take a new job only to find that that job sucks just as much as the last one. And that's work, unfortunately, for 99% of us. Or maybe you've sold or traded in a car, which was a real lemon, only to find that the car that you've bought is someone else's lemon that they've just traded in. Whatever it is, we often find ourselves moving from one uncomfortable situation to the next, with maybe a brief feeling of freedom in between. And today, as we look at Romans chapter 6, we're talking about being rescued from slavery to become slaves again to a different master, which might sound like we're jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire. So in chapter 5, just a little flashback, Paul's just reminded us that Jesus has paid the price for our sin in full. And even if we continue to sin, in chapter 5, verse 20, he said, where sin increases, grace, God's grace, increases all the more. It's all paid for. There's nothing we can do, nothing we need to do to contribute to our salvation. With our faith in Jesus, God's grace covers all of our sin, past and future. And having said this, Paul anticipates a question. So he asks the question on our behalf and then swiftly answers. In verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So Paul says, if you've been listening to what I've just said, then I know what you're probably thinking. It sounds like we can sin just as much as we like. And maybe even more than that, maybe it's even good for us to sin, to go on sinning so that God's grace will abound and he'll be all the more glorified. Why shouldn't we go on sinning? Or why should we fight against sin? Maybe a better way of putting it. Have you ever thought about doing something knowing that it's sinful and thought, God will forgive me, I'll just do it, just this time, rather than fighting the sinful desire or looking for a better option? Maybe you just give into it. Why should I fight it? I'm bombarded with messages, just do it, not just from the world, but even from within my own heart. and my sinful nature wages war against what I know God wants for me, what's best for me. But he forgives me every time. That's part of what's behind this question in verse 1 and again posed in verse 15. Perhaps we should give God the opportunity to be gracious. He loves me unconditionally. He probably even likes to forgive me. Is Paul saying, just do it? Now, we're not talking about just slipping up or falling into temptation here and there, but purposefully sinning, purposefully going on in sin so that grace may increase. Well, Paul says, don't do it. Don't pursue it. If you're thinking that it doesn't matter if you sin or not, then you've misunderstood the whole message so far in Romans and the whole message of the gospel. Shall we go on sinning? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? When we put our faith in Jesus for our salvation, we acknowledge that Jesus has taken our sin upon himself and died to pay the penalty. Our sin is dirty and disgusting. And it's so serious, it cost such a high price to pay for it. By Jesus' death, we are free from the burden of sin because Jesus has taken it away. Now, I've often thought of this process as Jesus taking my sin as being like me just unloading all of my mess and piling it onto Jesus. And then being the same person that I was, but just without all of the baggage. Now, we have to be very careful about this kind of thinking. We have to be careful not to think that we're still the same person, that we just pile our baggage onto Jesus and somehow walk away free from our sin. Because we're not the same person. Our old self is dead. Look at verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptism is a symbol of what has happened in the heart of every believer. A complete transformation has taken place. We have died to sin. Our old self has died with Christ. And we've been raised with him. And given new life. Not a revival of the old person, but a new person with a new life. Verse 4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have a new identity in Christ. That's the gospel. We've been freed from sin by being united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. That's why Paul says, don't presume on God's grace and just sin because you know you're forgiven. If you've understood the gospel, then you know that your old self is dead. So why would you try and live like a dead person? It makes no sense. If our trust is in Jesus and in Jesus alone for our salvation, then we've died to sin. We're no longer slaves to it. Sin has lost its ultimate power over us. If we've been united with Christ in his death, then his death is our death for our sin, doing away with the old self. See, Jesus didn't bring our sin back from the dead with him. It's paid for and done away with completely. He bore our sin, suffered death for it, and rose again without it. So we now live in him without sin as our master. We're free from it. Now we battle with sin. Our sinful nature still battles with our new nature in this body, but it's been overthrown and defeated. It no longer reigns. It no longer has ultimate power. It no longer defines who we are and who we belong to. We don't belong to sin anymore. We have a new master. We're defined by Jesus and united with him. We belong to him. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Sin, which would lead us to death, has been put to death. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." His old self is dead. There is only life in Christ. For every person who's ever lived in human history, without faith in Jesus, every one of us is ruled by the reigning power of sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Without Jesus, we're all slaves to sin, which leads to death. We were all born with hearts where sin reigns. And we've fed that heart with more sin. But as believers in Jesus, sin doesn't reign in our hearts anymore. It's not in control. Dying to sin means that we're free from slavery to it. Sin no longer has reigning power over our lives. I hope I've made that clear. It's dead, it's finished, it's gone. When we struggle with sin in our lives, we'll see next week in chapter 7 how Paul struggled with sin in his life. God knows that this side of heaven we're going to struggle with sin. Paul knows that we'll struggle with sin. That's why he wrote this for us. That's why he had to tell us and remind us that sin doesn't have any power over anymore over us. It's no longer our master. He knew it would be a struggle. But even though battles with sin occur within us, our lives, now surrendered to the rule and reign of Christ, are no longer dominated by sin. So let's not forget who we are, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." Listen to what Tim Keller says about how sin goes against our new and true identity. "While sin remains in me with a lot of strength, it no longer controls my personality and life. It is still able to lead me to disobey God, but now sinful behavior goes against my deepest self-understanding." It goes against who we are. If you're battling with sin, sin's not good, but if you're battling with it, good. It shows that it goes against who you are. And Keller also says, "When someone is united to Christ, everything changes because who they are changes. There's a new me. When a Christian sins, they're acting against their identity. Therefore, if I sin, it's because I do not realize who I am. I've forgotten what has been done for me in Christ." Let's not forget who we are in Christ. Let's not forget what has been done for us in Christ. And let's remind each other of who we are. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't need to fear judgment from each other, but we should expect that we will be spoken to with truth and love, that we'll be reminded about our identity. When we battle with sin, let's not fall for the lie that it's just the way we are. Because if our faith is in Jesus, then it's not just the way we are. Or that it's in our DNA. Our old selves are dead. We have a new life, a new DNA. It's not just blame our DNA or our heritage, and therefore we may as well just give in to sin. Don't fall for that lie. Remember, sin no longer reigns. You're no longer a slave who has to give in to evil desires. Naturally, giving in to sin might be the way that we were, but it's not the way we are now in Christ. The way we are now is free from the power of sin and death and alive in Christ. And what have we had to do? What have we done to be released from this slavery to sin? Nothing. Jesus has done it all. I want to just clarify the difference between dying to sin and dying for sin. In verse 2 we read, "You have died to sin." Jesus didn't have to die to sin. He was sinless. But he died for sin, for our sin. And united to Jesus, we die to sin as Jesus died for our sin. Can you see the difference? We haven't died for our sin. Jesus has done that for us. You see, if we have to contribute to paying the penalty, dying for our sin, then we'd stay dead. If we were to die for our sin, then we would have received the wages of sin that we deserved. So if we die for our sin, then the correct penalty has been paid, just as God said it would in Genesis chapter 2. But if Jesus died for our sin, that changes everything for us. Since Jesus is sinless, he's not guilty of any personal sin. Death had no right to hold him indefinitely. Acts 2:24 says it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's how we live, not just by dumping our sin on Jesus and then walking away, just the way we were, but somehow free. You see, we wouldn't be free. If we dumped our sin on Jesus and then walked away as our old selves, we'd be right back in the same boat again. We live because our old self has died with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ. We have a completely new life in Jesus, because without him, death would keep its hold on us like a slave with no hope of being free. Have a look down at verses 8 and 9. "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." United with Christ, just as he can't die again, we can't die again. Now these worn out bodies, they'll die. But spiritually, for our sin, if we're united with Christ, we won't face death. And just as death no longer has mastery over Jesus, so death no longer has mastery over us. We're united with him. United with Christ, just as he lives to God, so we also live to God. And just as we were not to act in accordance with our old identity, which was dead, Paul now directs us to live in accordance with our new identity, living lives to God, pursuing him, offering ourselves to him completely. Verse 13 says, "Do not offer any part of yourself to sin, but rather offer yourselves to God. Offer every part of yourself to him." As a slave is owned by one master, we're not to live as slaves to God while serving another master. So we were slaves to sin. Now saved by Jesus. Freed to become slaves to God. Have we jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire? Paul uses the slavery analogy to help us understand the transformation that's occurred when we become slaves to God rather than slaves to sin. I'm sure his original readers would have had an easier time identifying with slavery than we do today. But we do hate the idea, don't we? While we might hate the very idea of slavery of any kind, and if you're thinking of slavery the way that I am, then we hate it for a good reason. But here's what happened when we became slaves to God. Even though we were enemies of God by our own choice, subject to his righteous judgment for our sin, without excuse, God purchased us at a cost. He paid for our sin with the blood of his perfect Son so that we can be declared righteous and inherit the glorious riches of his eternal kingdom as his own sons and daughters. He doesn't treat us as slaves the way we might think of slavery in a sinful, broken world. And it's not as if he treats us as if we were his children. He made us his children. We are his children. That's what slavery to God is like. It's unlike any kind of slavery that we might think of, because he is unlike any other master we could serve. Slavery to sin under the law, which reveals our sin. Slavery to sin under the law makes us fear what might become of us if we fail. But we don't have to fear anymore. Paul's gone to great lengths to convince us that we haven't and can't earn our righteousness by keeping the law. So there are two choices: to live under the law or under grace. The law shows us that we're unrighteous. By God's grace, he declares us righteous through Jesus. Verse 16 says, we're either slaves to sin or obedience. Verse 19, wickedness or holiness. It's all the same equation. We're either slaves to sin or slaves to God, and the result is either death or life. Verses 22 and 23, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reality is that we're either one or the other. We're either sons and daughters of Adam and under the curse of sin, slaves to sin, or we are in Christ, living a new life in him, completely different to the old, a new identity. If you believe God's promise to Abraham that he would send a savior, and if you believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise, all of God's promises fulfilled in Jesus, having paid the penalty for your sin in full as a free gift, then you're alive in Christ. Your old self is dead and buried. You're a child of God, united with Christ and sharing in his glory. That's your true identity. Our new life in Christ is true life. It makes no sense for us to say that it's okay to feed our old sinful desires, which are remnants of our old dead selves. There was and is no benefit in doing these things according to our old identity. The things we're now ashamed of Verse 21 says, those things result in death. Praise God that he has rescued us from the path that we were on. Sin paid its wages to our Lord Jesus, so that we instead would receive the gift of God, eternal life, true life in Christ our Lord. As Christians, believers in God's promise, with our salvation firmly and completely in Jesus, we've been bought back from the mastery of sin and death to serve a better master, a perfect master. We serve the one who we were made to enjoy forever. Out of the frying pan and into the fire? No. We've been lifted by the power of God out of the frying pan of sin, carried across the fire of death through which Jesus suffered in our place, and into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father as his dearly loved children. That's what's happened. Being slaves to God is the complete opposite of slavery to sin. Sin leads to death. God gives us life through Jesus. Sin lies and is unfaithful, promising the world but giving us nothing. God is perfectly faithful, keeping his promises, fulfilling them all in Jesus. Slavery to sin gives us no rights to anything good. Slavery to God leads to an inheritance as his children. We don't get tossed the scraps. We feast at his table. We're his own children. Resting in the loving embrace of our Heavenly Father, knowing what it cost him to save us, and knowing what we were saved from, helps us to answer the questions of verses 1 and 15. Shall we go on sinning actively and deliberately as if it were okay, as if it were actually good that God's grace would increase because we sin more? By no means. As Jesus carried us through the flames of death, our old selves died with him. Let's enjoy the new life won for us, the freedom from sin, as we now love and serve our Father as his dearly loved children, and love and serve one another as brothers and sisters together, his dearly loved children in his arms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for rescuing us from sin and death. Lord, we know that there is nothing that we can do to contribute to our salvation, but you have done it all for us in Jesus. Father, thanks for the free gift of salvation and eternal life in you. Father, help us as we struggle day by day with sin. Help us, Lord, to choose to follow you, to choose our true identity, to live according to our true identity. And thanks, Lord, that you do and have continued to forgive us for our sin. Father, change us and mold us into your likeness. Lord, when you look at us, you see your Son Jesus. Help us to live according to our new identity in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.